Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back. Monday morning, last week, last full week of August. Pat Kreitlow here, along with Luke Mathers. And by the way, you're saying, shouldn't he be talking to somebody by now? And we did have a guest booked for this morning, but unfortunately some travel plans came up. And I'll tell you, that's one thing I would not be doing right now is air travel. The air travel is just insane. And I normally don't have anything against air travel. I know that, you know, they're trying their best. I'd never take it out on the people who are on the ground, even though a lot of other people seem not to have that problem. But this is not their problem. This is made at executive levels to the way that they've either overbooked or understaffed or just haven't made the right changes on their schedules. And instead, we're finding so many delayed flights or canceled flights to the point where there's travels that we would like to do. We have daughters in two different parts of the country, but we still haven't made those plans yet because we're just not sure air travel is going to be the way to go for a little while. And we'd really like to get back to that because we do like to go there. We got nothing against driving though. We've driven 18 hours to Idaho several times and we'll do it again if we have to. It's by and large a lovely drive, but if it's not lovely that day because of the weather, you know it, believe me. We were talking before the break about Senator Ron Johnson and a super PAC formed by billionaires that is running ads against him. And I believe they're the ones, I have to double check this, but there's another new ad running against Mandela Barnes saying in essence that he hasn't paid his taxes when he has, but there was a year where he didn't file at all because he made so little money and has paid very little in taxes compared to multimillionaires. But there have also been times where Mandela Barnes has paid more in taxes than Ron Johnson and some other millionaires because of the tax breaks and the loopholes that they've created in the code over the years. The one that we've talked about most often here and will continue to talk about here, the one that led to the creation of that Wisconsin Truth Super PAC, is one that Ron Johnson single-handedly got put into the 2017 Republican tax cut bill. It's the one that enables Johnson and other Republicans to say with a grain of truth that they have lowered taxes for small businesses, but the actual benefit to what you would consider small businesses is a sliver of what has gone to the wealthiest taxpayers. And I want to read a bit from ProPublica's groundbreaking article that first demonstrated how big that Ron Johnson sweetheart tax deal was. The article is called Secret IRS Files Reveal How Much the Ultra Wealthy Gained by Shaping Trump's Big Beautiful Tax Cut. And it's a lengthy article, well worth your time to read. And it gets into more than just the Wisconsin billionaires, but plenty of other people whose fingerprints were on the 2017 tax bill and who ultimately benefited. And of course, it wasn't you, by and large. So the relevant parts here start with something that Johnson did for the tax break for what are called pass-through corporations. And you probably know there are different ways to classify a business. Some you know, sell stock, some are privately held. There are pass-through entities. There are a lot of small businesses that are pass-through entities where they don't pay corporate taxes because it's counted on the individual business owner's tax return. And so they pay the taxes as an individual. So the tax liability passes through the company to them. Sounds like a great thing for a small business, right? But there's no limit on what constitutes a pass-through company. There are some very massive companies out there that are pass-through entities or small companies with very wealthy taxpayers who are pass-through entities. Now, there already was a tax break for pass-through entities. The ProPublica column reads, Johnson's intervention in November 2017 was designed to boost the bill's already generous tax break for pass-through companies. The bill had allowed for business owners to deduct up to 17.4% of their profits. Thanks to Johnson holding out, that figure was ultimately boosted to 20 cents. That might seem like a small increase, but even a few extra percentage points can translate into tens of millions of dollars in extra deductions in 1 year alone if you're an ultra-wealthy family. The mechanics are complicated, the article says, but for the rich, it generally means that a business owner gets to keep an extra 7 cents on every dollar of profit. And to understand the windfall, they write, take the case of the Uline family. There's Dick and his wife, Liz, who own the packaging giant Uline. The logo of the Pleasant Prairie firm is stamped on the bottom of countless paper bags. Uline produced nearly $1 billion in profits in 2018, according to ProPublica's analysis of tax records. Dick and Liz Uline, who own a majority of the company, reported more than $700 million in income that year. I'm going to say that again. The company made about $1 billion in profits, and they had income in 2018 of more than $700 million. But they were able to slash what they owed the IRS, Andy, you and me, for our schools, roads, environment, and so forth. They were able to slash what they owed the IRS with a $118 million deduction generated by the new tax break. So by Johnson holding out as he did and insisting on this break for pass-through entities, which by and large deal with small, which should deal with small businesses, the lion's share of it went to the ultra-wealthy so that they could slash their tax liability by $118 million. Liz Uline, who serves as company president, has criticized high taxes in her company newsletter, the ProPublica article goes on to say. The year before the tax overhaul, the couple gave generously to support Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. That same year, when Johnson was facing long odds in his reelection bid against Russ Feingold, the Ulines gave more than $8 million to a series of political committees that blanketed the state with pro-Johnson and anti-Feingold ads. That blitz led the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to dub the Ulines the Koch brothers of Wisconsin politics. Johnson's campaign also got a boost from Diane Hendricks, Wisconsin's richest woman and owner of the roofing wholesaler ABC Supply. The Beloit-based billionaire has publicly pushed for tax breaks and said she wants to stop the U.S. from becoming, quote, a socialist ideological nation. Hendricks has said Johnson won her over after she grilled him at a brunch meeting 6 years earlier. She gave about $12 million to a pair of political committees, the Reform America Fund and the Freedom Partners Action Fund, that bought ads attacking Feingold. So what was the result? In the first year of the pass-through tax break, Hendricks got a $97 million deduction on income of $500 million. By reducing the amount of income that she owed taxes on, that deduction saved her $36 million. She saved $36 million off her tax bill directly because of the actions of Ron Johnson. So is spending a little of that, hundreds of thousands, maybe a couple of million, pouring that back into politics through a super PAC and other groups and other ads, is it worth it? Sure looks like it. Sure looks like a massive payoff for treatment in the tax code that, as economists looked at this deduction afterwards, has overwhelmingly, well over 50% of the total dollars no longer available for roads, schools, national defense, natural disasters. A lot of that money is now still in the bank accounts of billionaires and others in the top 1% generated of income in Wisconsin. So this is what ProPublica did. This was just about 2 years now, I think, the article is, that pointed that out. Since that time, Ron Johnson's been asked about it, and he has said that, yes, he backs it, he supports it. He again made the claim that small businesses benefit, and he confirmed that he himself has personally benefited because the company that he ran and has since sold, since that deduction went through, was a pass-through entity. And so he generated wealth as well. His wealth has, his personal wealth has basically doubled since he's been in office. And he has said that that is, he has defended that, saying it actually should have been more, but that he has a lot of his funds, a lot of his wealth is in, I forget if it's index funds or trust funds, and he could have made more if he could have invested it, you know, if he could have invested it in more things, which, by the way, raises a whole separate notion of whether members of Congress should be allowed to buy and sell stock. I, to this day, am flabbergasted by the now Democratic leadership of Congress, but before that, the Republican leadership of Congress, that this is allowed at all, because let's stop with the fairy tale that, you know, this is some kind of a Norman Rockwell thing of, you know, just investing in a company because you think the company is good and you like the widgets that they made. That is not what we have now. And, you know, the stories run rampant of members of Congress who some have been caught or highly suspected of trading on insider information that they received as members of Congress. Others haven't faced any consequences, but it sure stinks to high heaven. And yet we allow that. And that is how we ended up with a Congress that is filled with multimillionaires, and why you see somebody like Mandela Barnes posing such a threat that they're going to pick on whether he paid a pittance in taxes compared to, as I've now explained to you, the tens of millions of dollars in taxes that they didn't pay. It's quite a setup. And Luke, I still can't get over that they can buy and sell stocks as members of Congress. I have filled out those ethics disclosures as a member of the legislature. And I don't even know that I could face constituents knowing that.
Yeah, and the upsetting part was sometimes they use information that's not, like, even more upsetting, is that they use information that you and I aren't privy to. Like, there was a huge investment in telecommunications right before the COVID-19 pandemic, like before the shutdown happened, mid-March of 2020. There were senators, Kelly Loeffler of Georgia is the first one that comes to mind. That she just started investing in telemedicine and telecommunications heavily. And I believe her husband has Wisconsin ties. I think he's a Badger, and he oversees some kind of role at the New York Stock Exchange. And between them being briefed that COVID was a bigger thing, but them downplaying it and acting like, as Republicans were downplaying it, saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like Trump's going to get it handled by Easter. And then they go and invest in these things and make millions off of information that you and I aren't privy to, Pat. It's extremely frustrating.
And there are plenty of people who say, well, you know, the tax code is so complex and the stock markets are so complex with, you know, derivatives and all kinds of other things that they throw up their hands and think, well, let's just let anything go and, you know, let's just have more transparency about it. And I reject that notion because it's not like you can't have safeguards. It's not like you can't have rules. You just need to make sure that, you know, whoever is enforcing those rules keeps up on things, doesn't have their budgets undercut by the very legislators they're supposed to be looking at. Because we end up having a situation like I found here, the Dan Bice column from just about a year ago, where Ron Johnson was discovered to have only paid a couple of $1,000 in state income tax a couple of years back. To be exact, he paid a total of $2,105 in state income taxes for 2017. That's not what you would expect from, you know, your typical multimillionaire. And he says that it has something to do with, you know, his income and the way that it was derived, but he hadn't provided the paperwork to say so. And it's that lack of transparency that, again, like I said about Trump in 2016, if they won't respect you enough to be transparent with their finances, why are you trusting them with what you're going to pay in taxes? We'll take a break, wrap up this hour right after this. You're up north.